November 18, 1978, talking to Henry Beatus and Hughes.
Come on. Mom will pack you.
And we're looking for that picture.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm taking pictures.
I thought maybe we could start by just talking about what you're doing now, when you went out, what you're doing when you go out to the trap line with your son.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago I put up a camp for them down what do you call Bear Creek. It's out. So it's about 17 miles from here. And I haul the tent down, tent and traps. Next day I haul them down. That's when we had that stormy weather. They were down there 5 days and they set traps and it was pretty wet with them. And right now, what they're going to do is they want to check their line and reset their traps. They have to spring it and clean it, clean the ice off it and reset it.
What was it like for them being out there when it was really wet?
Well, they just go a little ways at a time every day. They couldn't put in a full day in the wet snow. So they probably work about 5-6 hours a day maybe on traps, and they come home and do some camp work. And
well, what do they do to take care of themselves when it's wet like
that? Well, they got a tent, they got a good sized tent, and they can dry their clothes in the evening. Get an early start drying clothes, and get all ready for the next morning.
Have they been out like that?
No, this is that's their first time out in trapline by themselves. Yeah. it would have been better if I go out there and stay out there with them, teach them how. They would learn faster, but I got this job to take care of, so all I can do is just help them one day out and they're on their own from there. But I talk with them, I tell them how to go the safest way in traveling, and lack lakes or any creeks. So that part they know. They check ice pretty good before they cross a lake or a creek. But where they're at right now, it's they don't have much lakes to worry about. Just mostly on the hills, marten trapping. It was a pretty good sign of marten when I hauled the tent and broke the trail first time. It was a pretty good sign of marten. So after they set their traps good, they should have, if they're lucky, they should have done good.
Have they been trapping before with you?
Well, yeah, when they were going to grade school, I take them out weekends, not every weekend, just but once in a while I take them out, and they just know just about how to go out, about trapping.
What made them decide to go out trapping?
Well, this was kind of a bad year for us around here. It's no jobs, no firefighting last summer, so only way for them to make a dollar is go out and hustle for themselves to try to catch some fur.
Are a lot more young people doing that now?
Yeah, yes. There's quite a few of these young voices. After they finish school, they come back, and that's what they want to learn, is our old way of living.
Do you think more young people are doing it than you?
Well, it's like, 7-8 years ago, there weren't much of that going on. Right now, fur prices went up, so that's where they're interested in trapping.
Was that pretty discouraging for some young men to go out for the first time and it's all raining?
Yeah, it just happened to went out in the wrong time, but it was good experiment for them, though. They didn't expect what can happen if it, if their clothes is wet and haven't turned cold in the evening, they'll be prepared for that. But they You say they carry extra clothes, extra gloves and boots and socks when they go out, so that was pretty good.
So now, what do they have to do to get their eyes off?
Oh, they can just go check the line, and you have to pick up everyone, just spring the trap, and if it's iced up, they have to clean it up and reset it and dry snow, and it'll be set good then.
You mentioned earlier today that you had seen some beaver tracks too.
Oh, yesterday, yeah. Lester Sam and I went out hunting yesterday, and we covered a lot of area down the flats, and there's all kinds of area down there. There's some lakes, and there's some creeks, and three places we saw beaver come out for a feed. And I'm pretty sure they got plenty of feed under the water, but our old stories is what my old man used to tell me, the sign of a long, long spring when beavers start coming out in warm spill in fall time. As I seen that happen back in 52, when her and I first started to live together, I went out trapping that fall, and not every beaver house, but quite a few beaver was out for food that fall. We had a warm spill like this. We didn't have no rain at the time, but warm spill. And sure enough, that next spring, it was late spring. That's the latest spring I ever saw. We had a lot of snow too that winter. In 52? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's in June. It's pretty late June, it's finally break up. Mm-hmm. We were springing up a Old Man River with her parents then. We're staying in spring camp. We did a lot of traveling on the crust because we had nothing to do. So we set muskrat traps, and we did a lot of traveling on the crust. That's all with dogs, so that those days, no snow machine.
What kind of muskrat traps do you use?
The traps we use is in a muskrat house, we use number one. We extend a chain with the wire or whatever we can use. We can't use a rope because rats will chew it off then. And that way, when the chain is long enough, like about 18 inch long, the muskrat can get caught and dive with the trap. And it don't have much chance to come back up when the chain is long. If the chain is short, it can come back up. It'll get a fresh air, and we got a chance to lose it and chew his foot off. Then. That's how we were hunting rats all that time with. Or late spring. After it warm, after it starts coming out, we start shooting it.
You used to do that every year?
Yeah, But ever since I start to remember, my grandparents did that every spring. Well, everybody. Because they weren't much jobs those days. People have to trap all winter and fish in the summertime, stock up for wintertime. But price of food used to be quite a bit cheaper those days. If a fella make like $100 or $150 worth of trap, you can buy a lot of food with that. Right now, if we go shopping with $100, we can carry out a couple of paper bags, that's about all.
So muskrats, do the people in different trading posts find them?
Yeah, they used to, this trader here, this James Trading Post used to buy fur. And almost every store in the village just buy fur those days. And during the winter, used to be fur buyers that used to fly around to. That used to buy fur from the people or store or wherever you can buy fur.
Does anyone buy muskrat now?
Yeah, muskrat is a pretty good price. Trap rats is $3 or $4 each right now. But there ain't much of it. We don't have muskrat like we used to have. So all the lakes is drying out. We don't have much water in the lakes. So I guess during the winter they must have, when the lake freezes at the bottom, they must have died or something. Just getting to be less muskrat every year.
Sons are out there now at the camp, trapping and learning how to trap. What do you think the future is for them as trappers?
Well, it seems like they'll do pretty good as long as they keep on going. Because I went part under a line today, and I see their sets, and they seem to set traps pretty good. They cover it fairly good for the snow, in case if it snow. So I think they're doing really, really good for the first time out.
What's the difference between the way they're going out for the first time and, say, the way that you went out for the first time?
Well, when I went out, I started going with old man when I was 9 years old, and I just learned how old man set trap. I watch him, so that way I started setting trap pretty good when I was small. But right now, these boys still remember when I take them out weekends. I guess they remember how I set trap at that time, so they just know how to go about it. And look like they're doing pretty good. They make pretty good sets. So if they're lucky, they should do good, because it's pretty good fur, pretty good sign of fur out very quick. A lot of marten.
You think they're going to stay with it for a while?
Yeah, as long as they're catching something, they'll be interested. They'll just keep on going then. But if they don't have any luck, if they don't catch much, maybe they might slow down it after a couple, 3 weeks. But as long as they're catching animals, they'll stay with it.
They have all kinds of questions for you now every time. And they see you when they're getting ready to go out.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, after the trap in this one area, they're talking about extend the trail and put your camp further on out to trap new area. Just after a certain area, if you there's so many animals been taken out of a certain area, there ain't much a trap there. So if they happen to take some fur from this camp, it's no use for them to stay there all winter. They have to continue on with the trail and go further on out. And the area they're trapping, that's a good area, so if they move their camp up another 10-15 miles further, they'll come to new area where it's never been trapped for quite a few years.
How many people now are trapping people
at least? Oh, right now there's about 7 of them is already out, and there'll be over 3 or 4 more that will be going out later.
Are any of them going out with their entire family now?
Joe Beatus, his 2 sons is out with him. Well, this is the second winter for those 2 boys, so they know how to go about traveling all day. You know how to put in long days. Because they were taught that last year, so right now there's two boys, they're on their own. I think Joe is just start trapping around the camp while those two boys have a longer line.
What about, say, when you were growing up, did you ever go out with your old man and whoever else was in the family? Did all of you go out?
Yeah, we used to move out, in December for marten trapping, and afterwards in February we used to stay out camp for beaver. Go out in February and come back in late March.
Why do you think that's changed?
Well, right now, really, a fella can't take his whole family out, but there's younger ones gotta be in school. And the mother had to take care of the younger ones at home. The kids go to school, so that right now there's nobody take his whole family out anymore. Just the boys after they finish high school, that's the only time they come back and start learning our old way of living.
Well, you mentioned since you work now, you do some things. Well, you don't have to work all day, you have to be around quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, with this light plant, yeah, I'd say. Well, really, I should just stay home, but I'm getting paid 4 hours a day, and right now, and that's just 24 hours a day, you know, you have to.
So, what do? You go out part of the day, go hunting?
Yeah, in morning, if I go out hunting or trapping, the first thing I do in morning is I check the light plant, make sure everything is okay. Check the stoves in the school, and I tell the teacher I'll be out so many hours and just take off. Come back in the evening, I check the whole thing again, make sure it's okay, everything's working good.
Does that change the way you go hunting and things? If you know you got to go back home, do you have to hunt different?
Yeah, it is, because when I go out, I'm just in a rush all the time. I just move steady. But before, when I didn't have anything to do at home, I used to go out a couple nights at a time when I really want to go hunting. I take my time and really search the area good for the whatever I hunt for. But right now, the way I'm going is going 20, 25 miles an hour with snow machine. It's hard to find anything then.
What are you hunting for now?
Well, I'm hunting, part hunting and trapping right now, and whatever I see. If I see a wolf, I'll try to kill the fox or otter, whatever. Really, what I'm doing is I'm just trying to find animal homes. That way, it's only way I can catch something in a rush. But I enjoy it, though. I enjoy my riding.
I noticed that Norman's driving dogs now.
Yeah.
I remember summertime you said he was asking to have the dogs, and you said, well, you have to get some dogs there.
Well, right now he's using 6 dogs. We've got 12 big ones right now, working dogs, and he's using half. And he makes use of them, and he's also keeping them in shape for me too, in case if I want to use them in race, to keep them in shape. So that way the dogs help him, and he's helping me too. So we're pretty good. Yeah, this other 6 back here, whenever I get around to it, I take them out. Not a long run though, they're not really in shape for race right now, but I'll have to use them in New Year. Yeah, I took care of 6 working ones, and I got 5 more pups. They're about 6 months old now.
Did you rent out any of your dogs this year?
Yeah, I plan to rent 6 dogs to my cousin Carl Hynington for Rondi in North American Fairbanks. That'll be after first of the year. I'll use them in Hoosley first. New Year races down here. Yeah, I went down visit him three weeks ago, I think. I went down visit him. He's got 26 and a candle there. And a lot of pups too.
Well, how does that feel to run out your dogs? I guess if it's somebody like Carl, you know, knows how to take care of dogs.
Yeah, he keeps them in pretty good shape. And he's a good racer too. He trains them pretty good. Take good care of them.
But is that a hard thing to do sometimes, run out dogs if you think it's good dogs?
When I rent dogs like that, I make sure that they're going to be taken care of good. I never just lend my dogs or rent my dogs to anybody else. I make sure the person is going to take good care of them. That's the only way I let my dogs go. Yes, if I lend my dogs to just anybody that want to use dogs, if the dogs get hurt, it'll be ruined. They wouldn't be as good as they were before. So that's where I watch pretty close whenever I lend my dogs out. Even for small races, I make sure who I lend my dogs to.
Have you done a lot
of dogs? Yeah, I lent out dogs quite a few times, and I also borrowed dogs a lot of times too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guys run this room pretty well together.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, just like if I plan on going racing in Fairbanks and place like that, they'll. All I have to say is I'm going to go race there, and people will start backing me up. And it's like, if they trust me, they must know that I take good care of my dogs. And so they got that last winter when I went down Anchorage. People from Alcacket loaned me dogs, and Bruce Lea and Koyukuk. Leonard Tynton loaned me dogs from Koyukuk too. I didn't ask for these dogs. They just come to ask me if I need dogs, so I just go pick them up. I had about 34 running dogs back here in the kennel last winter. But I had my brother helping me, the Winkler Byfield, who was training with me. So And we take out four teams out every day, two teams each, and there's a lot of work. But that's plus feeding and watering them in the morning too. We get started around 7 o'clock in the morning before bright, and there's times we work till around 8 or 9 in the evening. And that's a lot of work to train. When a fella got a lot of dogs. If there's only 10, 12 dogs, that's only one person's job. It'll be easy. But anytime dogs get over 20 running ones, that's a lot of work. Yeah.
How do you train your dogs?
Well, really, when they're pups, I hook them up with the older dogs that really behave good. And when the pups are, when they're too mischief, I spank them. I keep them straight, and that way they just learn to work with the older dogs that really behave. Just if I hook them up with a dog that doesn't behave, that's just the way that the pup's gonna be too. So I use the old dogs for a trainer, plus me spanking them when they're too mischief. So that way, in a couple of weeks, they catch on good. And every time when they're on a post, I'm always strict with them. I never let them get away with anything. I'm always the master. They always got to listen to me. Or when they're in the harness, working the same way. I'm just pretty strict with them. That's the only way they can behave. And that way, whenever I really want to get a work out of them in a race, they know they really have to put out. While they're pups, even full-grown dogs, if I let them get away with a lot of things when they're mischief, they don't listen to me. If I let them get away with that in the race, I wouldn't get much out of them. Well, they know they can beat me one way, you know. But when I'm strict, they know they have to put out. I learned that from the other racers, so that's just the way I train too.
What other racers do you think helped you the most, or did you learn from the most?
There's a racer, he was from Galena, Raymond Paul. He was a great racer. He used to race in the Fairbanks and Anchorage, and won those races I don't know how many times, and he taught me a lot just by talking. And another one is my brother, Q Byfield. He taught me quite a bit too. Well, I raced local with them quite a few years, and they used to beat me every year. And right now it backfired on them. Now last couple of years I happened to be a hit, so. Yeah. Well, really, my brother, he don't race anymore. His son's got dogs, and my brother, he don't use dogs anymore. So that way, you see. He never teaches. Well, he never worked with his dogs around his boys, so that way just boys, they can learn on their own right away. They got to make a lot of mistakes first, and take a lot of time.
Well, your brother too, remember you mentioned him before, that he was older than you.
Yeah.
When your mother had died, he went to his
stay? Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. He was big enough to traveled with Dad. So he goes out to trapping with Dad. And I was a year and a half when my mother died. That's where my mother just took me in. My grandmother just took me in. So they raised me. That's where my name is different in Q.
So when did you start spending time at Q?
Well, after we growed up, it's in late 40s we started racing. 48 I started racing, and he was already racing then. And all that time I raced with them. Every year goes by, I learn a little bit from them. Until 1960, I finally won my first race. And I started 48. And 61, I gave up on dogs. I quit racing and sold my dogs, and I bought a snow machine. And I used that till the snow machine wore out, and I went back to dogs again. I think I went through two machines, or three machines, before I went back to dogs.
How long did it last?
Well, the first one I used 6 winters. Second one I used 6 winters. The first one I bought second hand. I got two winters out of it. The second one was new. I bought new and it got 6 winters out of it. And the third one, it was still running when I start raising dogs again. So that way that machine lasted quite a bit longer. Because I use dogs quite a bit. And started racing again in 74. And I've been racing every year and from then.
What was that race that you won?
That was our race.
He was racing?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, one of those trophies. The one I won that year. I think that No, that
was the big one.
Yeah, they put it up in 76 and it worked. And I.
You just wiped it right out, didn't you?
Yeah, uh-huh. Three years.
Nobody else got a chance.
Well, they try to put their name on it. Charlie Stevens from Niana. They went down Hooslea. George Atla tried it last year before that, too. I just happened to pluck out and put my three names on it, so I got it.
I know Charlie Stevens.
This one, I think this came from Cotsview. It's a second place.
Let's see, who's here?
Let's see.
Andrew Byfield, I'm on the right. Who's here? That's New Year's, huh?
Oh, that must be the one that cost you on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Those two are from who's here.
Edgar Barfelt Memorial Race, how did that get its name?
Hugh's son, my nephew, and after he died, they have a potlatch for him. Mm. And they put that trophy up for a memorial, for a dog race. I won that last one. All those trophies back there. There's quite a few of those ones. They're all the family trophies. Well, I got about probably a dozen of it, but all the rest is all the whole family racing for it. There's some for lead dog contests too. I think
pick up four trophies.
Hey, what's this? North American?
Yeah, I placed second in 61. North American.
Oh, along with the Hughes race, there's also a North American in there, huh? Oh, I didn't tell us about that, eh?
Hi.
Hang on to a sleigh and come back over the finishing line with dog team, that I'll still race. But whenever a dog team finish over the line by themselves, I guess that's when I'm going to have to hang it up. Yeah, that happened to people. That happened to me quite a few times out in traveling. When I stopped my dogs and started to check my trap, reset it, and dogs can jerk a snow hook off and take off. And this time I walk home.
You walk all the way back to
Hughes
or to
camp? Camp. But once in a while the sleigh or anchor can get stuck to a willow or a tree, and you can stop like that too.
No.
But they follow a good leader, though. Follow a good command leader. As soon as they take off, just give the leader command to turn around. They can, if good leader can do that, but not all of them. I had a leader like that when I was, that's back in the 50s, 50 to 55, I guess. I had a leader that wouldn't leave me. Those days, I don't have to put a snow hook on or anything. As soon as the dogs go, if I tell the dog to come back, they can turn the team around. Just come back to me. That's only the leader I had like that. And right now, the way I'm training is, I'm training them to run. So whenever they move, they just run. They wouldn't stop for me.
Time.
Yeah, for a trap line, if all I have to train dogs different, you have to teach them to stop and wait for you while working on traps. But trap line dogs and race dogs, they don't work alike. But when if all I training for a race, you just got to teach them how to run hard, steady. So that way they. Racing dogs and trap line dogs are different.
So, how are these dogs if they belong in trap line?
Yeah, this one's, I know I'll have trouble with them if I start a trap with them, because it's going to take them a while to learn all about traps. It's like these six my son is using, he just used them between here and the camp. So that way they just go steady. But if they take them out in the trap line, he'll have problem with them. Because dogs, they never been on a trap line. Not yet, so we got a lot to learn yet.
So once he gets to camp, what does he do? He just walks?
It's a marten line. It's all walking on the hills. And couldn't very well drive dogs on hills unless cut out a good trail.
About how far is he walking?
Oh, from the camp, I think he's got, on one line, he's got 7 miles one way, he say, just about, I guess. I don't know about those other two boys, it could be shorter. It's Norman, he got a little more experience trapping than just two.
Where has he gotten more
experience? Well, he's older, and he's been out with me. It's like weekends quite a few times while he was going to grade school, and he finished school 3-4 years ago. And he was up the slope, and before he went to the slope, he went out trapping for a little while too. Trapping beaver. So that way he got a little more experience in this too. So he's a teacher at those two right now, out in the camp.
Do they really enjoy being out together?
Yeah, they're having a lot of fun there. Today, when I hold those two boys down, I ask them if they're going to check part of the line. They say no. He said Norman told them to stock up with wood, so they, as soon as they got to camp, they went to work on chainsaw, start sawing wood for the time while they're staying down there. And I never used to use chainsaw when I used to go out trapping. I used to use axe to chop wood. I picked out a good place, good camping spot for them. So they got there's a lot of wood. It's really good place. It's a calm place too. I pick out a good calm place where there's a lot of timbers. If it's out in the open area, it'll be bad for wind.
What kind of trees? It's all around?
Spruce trees.
Do they have a stove out there?
Yeah, they do.
Well, besides giving them, you know, kind of pointers on how to travel now that it's warm and how to travel on the river and all that, what other kinds of things would you talking to them about?
Well, next thing they really haven't got through yet is the cold weather. It's a lot harder to work out in the line when it's about 30 or 40 below. You have to be prepared with a lot of warm clothes. You gotta have warm gear, and you really have to be prepared for, you gotta keep your feet dry, mitts. So they really haven't go through that yet, but still yet I talk quite a bit with them about it, but they really haven't go through it yet. So that's the only place I kind of worried about them is if it turned cold with them.
What things do you worry about that could happen, the things that you've seen happen?
Well, if they never keep their gear dry, you can have a frostbite, and they can have frostbite in their feet or hands. They'll be bad, because once a person get a frostbite in a place in the body, that place will always get cold. I had a frostbite in my chin. That's about the only part of my body that's always bad for cold. When it's cold wind, I always have to wear a scarf.